Welcome to the Melanin Money Show with your host, George Achimpong and Carter Cofield. We're on a mission to decrease the wealth gap by $100 billion and in the process creating 100,000 new first generation millionaires. And we want you to be one of them. So listen to our show for weekly tips on personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship as we help you navigate your journey to your first 1 million in net worth and beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. And I know we look like last episode, but when you're wearing your own merch, it's like wearing a uniform. And when I used to work at Target, I wore the same red shirt every time I went to Target. You know what I'm saying? That's a uniform. It's the official uniform for wealth builders of color. So y'all mind y'all business, okay? Carter, how you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling amazing, bro. Like, what I love about having my own brand is I can literally wear the same thing. Like, and the thing is, nobody ever questions me about it. Right. Like, when I have on our merch, the triple B shirt, they never, like, yo, I love you always rocking your own stuff. I never get the man. Last time I see you in that, because it doesn't matter. It's my brand. Sure.
whether I have one of these or 100 of these, no matter. It's my brand. But we are back for another episode. Hopefully y'all listened to the most recent one before this, man. We had a good time on that one.
Yeah, that was entrepreneur therapy. That was for us. Y'all just got to listen.
That was for us. You know what I'm saying? That was for us. But y'all, man, like, the thing is, like, we always like to make sure that we give people homework or we give something tactical. And so one thing that the reason why we decided to do this episode is, like, we talked about, you know, like, work-life balance or the lack thereof when it comes to being an entrepreneur. And so what we wanted to do for those of you who are either very, very new to entrepreneurship or are considering entrepreneurship, give you some advice that we wish someone would have given us right before we started, right? Or early on in our career. So that way you can use this as information and context to determine if this is something you want to do, right? But before we get into that, let's get into some quick current events or just some news you could use. So y'all, I have been married for 8 years now. So this will be year 9, which is crazy to say.
Crazy work.
And I remember like it was yesterday. When I had to pay for our wedding, like we didn't go into debt for our wedding. That was one of my rules. I was like, look, whatever we do, like we not after the wedding is over, we can't have a bill from this day. Right. So we kept the budget, you know, pretty reasonable. It was still a buy.
How much did you cut the sharing? Like around?
It was just under 50,000.
Jesus Christ. And you were 20 something?
28.
Like, that's crazy.
28.
Yeah. 50,000 would be a lot of money for me to spend on a wedding right now. I'm just
like,
that.
to that end, I ended up, because I knew I didn't want to like borrow money or go into debt for it. I had my own place. Me and Curtis, I was like, yo, bro, I'm about to get married, bro. I got my own place right now. I was like, my lease about to be up. I need to save some money. I was like, you down to stack a little bit of bread for the next 8 months? So we actually became roommates. I got a roommate again at 28 so I could save more money so that I wouldn't have to go into debt to get married, right? So news you could use. But the reason why I bring that up is because there's this meme going around that this girl said, I talked to my uncle the other day and he said he just paid off his $83,000 wedding from 2013, right? So 11 years ago, my man been making installment payments for 11 years for a wedding. You know how many arguments that's probably caused when that bill came up, right? And they saw that, I got to pay for this again, especially when they not on good terms. And I hope they still together. You know how-
For sick, his sake, bro.
Bro.
For his sake.
How sick I would be making payments on a wedding and I'm not even with the person anymore. I mean, if I had this homie, and I'm gonna tell you something about me. Like,
That's how you know it's going to go somewhere.
I'm not the cut you off kind of guy, because at the end of the day, I'm either going to inspire you or I'm going to intimidate you. I'm not really the, like, I got to formally cut you off.
Yeah, right? Like you're going to steal yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. But this dude, bro, it was one of them dudes where it was like, that's your man's, you know, type of situations where I was like, yeah, bro, I got to cut you. Like you're moving crazy. Right. And it's making me look bad. Right. And I think I have had to deal with two people my entire life. Right. But anyways, more of the story is this dude proposed to his girl and then bought this expensive ring that he shouldn't have bought back then, because he was my age, way too expensive. And then the day he proposes, the next day, somebody he was messing with sends his fiance nudes and some crazy pictures. Like, yo, this your man. Basically, like congratulations. I think the sickest word, I think she said congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah,
The girl and said congrats. I was like, yikes. Anyway, my point of bringing this up is he then, of course, tries to sell the ring. And then, like, this is weird thing with wedding rings where it's like, because the way you get it sized and, like, whatever, like, you are never going to get anything close.
It immediately loses value.
It immediately loses value, right? And so he tried to sell the ring. He couldn't sell the ring. Or if he did try to sell it, it was like pennies on a dollar because he didn't buy it the right way. I'm just like, you do not want to be in that situation where you left holding the bag, right, from a decision. So listen, if you can't afford to buy it in cash, then please, please reconsider. Because taking 11 years to pay off a wedding is sick. Matter of fact, Carter, here's what I think you should do. You have a hard time probably convincing the young lady whenever you go down that road. But I think this is should be the new wave for weddings. The new wave for weddings is we know weddings be fun. It should just be a ticketed event, right? Think about it. You're gonna give a person a gift anyway, right? You're gonna give them a gift. Instead of giving me a gift, pay $100,
just buy a ticket.
$150 for a ticket, right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe at that point you might be subsidizing like 10K, you know what I'm saying? Your own money, but like y'all, it's gonna be a vibe. You pay to go to the club, you pay to come to my wedding. It's gonna be a vibe. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with it. You just gotta help me sell it. So we gotta come to the sales table. Like
the easiest way is I'm his business partner, one of his closest friends, and I'm willing to pay my ticket price. If I'm willing to pay, y'all should be willing to pay. Like there should be no reason why we put this much pressure on people to throw this event, this plated dinner for $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 for a single day, right? We're supposed to be celebrating y'all, right? You should be celebrating the person. And it's all this pressure on them to create this experience when all you got to do is maybe come out of pocket a couple $100 and make it easier on everybody. I think that's just a smarter play, in my opinion, right?
You sold me. I'm sold.
So we got a heavy woman listener base. Let us know in the comments if y'all would be with it. If you think this is a good idea, that the wedding should be a ticketed event, right? And it will be it'll probably be even more fun, right? Because You know what I'm saying? Like you got some budget to work with and then you ain't got so much pressure. Yeah. But would y'all be down with a wedding being turned into a ticketed event so that the people getting married ain't got to worry about going into debt? Would y'all be down
and
for that?
And the ones who are down, shoot me a DM. So we can figure it out.
Hey, now it's really getting spicy. Engagement going through the roof.
Crazy.
Gotta have a new show. What is it? Melanin Matrimony. You know what I'm saying? Starring Carter Cofield. Yeah. Man, that's too funny. But yeah, I thought that was interesting, yo. Like, y'all, bro, we can't. Wedding aside, y'all, like, we gotta start making better decisions. You know what I'm saying? Like, We gotta start making better decisions. Like, we gotta make sure our money aligns with what matters most. And dropping a bag on a single day. If you ain't got it like that, you ain't got it like that. And that's cool. Like, don't, there's no future in front of you. Like, once that wedding is over, you're the one that's stuck with the bill. So.
Yep. Yeah. So, facts. Okay. So, but that's the, I think we get to today's episode, which I think is a phenomenal title and it's going to be a phenomenal lesson for our listeners. You know, me and G talk all the time and, you know, we've both made mistakes in our entrepreneurial journey that have helped us get to who we are today. So there are no regrets, but we thought it'd be super dope to give y'all an episode of, you know, five mistakes or five things that we wish we knew about entrepreneurship before we got into the game, right? So you all can get real life insight, real life stories on some things that we did. And like Jay-Z said, Hove did that. So hopefully
you don't have to go through that.
You know what I'm saying? We'll give you five things.
Go ahead.
No, I said, so we'll give you five things that we wish we knew. But you said, Alex Amosi said what?
Getting the lesson without the scars, right? Because you're going to get enough scars on your own. Like, we can give you everything that ever happened to us, right? And how we did it, when it happened, how it happened, where it happened. You still going to have to go through some stuff, right? But at least for these lessons, right, you can get the lesson without the scar and use that as a way to propel yourself forward faster than us. Because that's the whole thing with, like, mentorship or being connected to the right people. Like, if I tell anybody I mentor this all the time, if let's just say that they're like 8 years younger than me or something like that, right? If you aren't more successful than I was at the point that you're at whatever age I am now, right? And I'm mentoring you 8 years ahead of that, like, I did something wrong, right? Like, the whole point is that you should be able to take this information. Oh, he told me there was a pothole up there. There was a roadblock up there. I need to make this turn. Like, if you can't get there more efficiently and faster, then that's on you. You know what I'm saying? Well, it should be on you, but I take the responsibility personally because I'm just like, yo, how could you be disconnected to me with this level of access and not be better off, right? So take this information, right? This is information that some folks might have paid a lot of money for that you're going to get for free right here, right now.
Facts. So I think lesson number one that I think at least I wish I knew before getting into business and becoming an entrepreneur was the cost of leaving the rat race, right? Or as Andrew Tate calls it, leaving the matrix, right? So like when you leave the rat race and you just have to quit your job, first of all, that moment is just like, it is the closest to like, the clouds open up epiphany moment, at least for me, than I've ever had to this point in my life. It's like the clouds opened up, the sun shined right on me, like, yo, you made it out. But what I didn't know was the cost of doing that. And what I mean by that is like the cost of like once you leave the rat race and start seeing that and truly understanding that you own your time, you own your location, you own your income, you're in full control. Like you have two hands on the steering wheel and it's driving this thing called life. You lose relatability and communication with people who cannot see that. It's like you have one of these glasses and everybody else can't see. And you're like, bro, like, why are you even, like, why are you dealing with that? Like, why, what are you doing? Like, what are we talking about? Right. And you like have these conversations like, oh man, if I do that, I can't leave my job. I can't, man, no, that'd be too crazy. You just sit there like, yo, but like, just leave. And like, you want to go do something? Just go do it. What are we talking about? And I personally lost the relatability with a lot of people who still work and still like blame their job or I wish I could do this, but now is not the time. I have no like relatability or empathy for like those people. And that's the majority of the world.
You know, it's said you should get a health checkup at least once a year. My question is, when's the last time you had a financial health checkup? My guess, it's probably been a while. And that's why we created the Wealth Health Score. Whether you're financially out of shape or financially elite, the Wealth Health Score is going to tell you exactly where you stand and what things you can do to get into the best financial health possible. So visit mywealthhealthscore.com to get your score today.
So like, I kind of lost relatability to a lot of people in the process. And for me, I just wish it was something I knew sooner.
Yeah. No, 100%, right? It's just like, and you have to, the biggest thing is you have to be okay with that, right? Like you have to be okay. One of my good friends says, it's not for them to understand, it's for them to see, right? Because what happens is when you start moving a certain way, they're not going to understand it, right? Because they're not in it and they're not doing it. But when they see the fruits of your labor, it's like, at some point it'll catch up. It's like, oh, okay. Like it didn't make sense. Like I remember like it was yesterday because me and Carter both went to college, both got great degrees, all that kind of stuff. Right. So I remember when I made the leap, people were like, yo, bro, you could just do the consultant thing. You can travel on a company's dime and be all over the country. Like, why are you doing this?
Like, yeah, like, what are you doing?
Like you got the degree. Like why? Like people really couldn't wrap their head around like why I was going down this path. Like, because I was like, I didn't have to. Like you did all this. You went to school to like be able to do the consultant thing, right? But then, you know, years passed. But I also had to be okay in that process, seeing what seemed to be easier, right? You know, everybody in corporate America will make the joke like, oh, like I don't got to work that hard, and you know, I'm like I'm multitasking on my boss's dime or whatever. And so it seems in the beginning, right? It seems like they're winning. And you're busting your butt until the glow up happens. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Until they realize like, oh, shoot, like now I'm making a little bit more. My boss is demanding more of me and I got to ask for permission to take time off. And like now all the things that I was shunning you for, you get to do and you're in 100% control of. Right. Wow. I didn't see it at that time. And now I'm behind the eight ball if I ever want to do it. Right. And for us, it's not that we're intentionally trying to lose relatability in the process. But the reality is just like once you've been doing something for so long, like you ever do something and someone been like, man, it just seems like it comes natural to you. Like, no, I put in the work. And so now it appears that way because I've been doing it for a little while. And so like, it's kind of hard for me to like go back in that mind frame of when it was challenging or when it was difficult because I already put in the work to do that. And so that's where the lack of relatability comes from. It's not like intentional. It's not like we're trying to be intentional a-holes and not think about the journey and the process and evolution. It's just like, that is no longer our reality. And as a result of that, instantly become unrelatable.
And that's the price I'm willing to pay 7 days a week and starts on Sunday. Just to be clear. Yeah. Okay. Once you are okay making that transition out of the rat race, out of the matrix, once you're okay with losing friends or just relatability to people, here is some other things that you got to look out for.
Yeah.
So number one is Oh, this is good, G. This is good. Advertising more and advertising faster and just building an overall brand, right? So if it's one thing that we can see, if we look at some of the richest people in the world, at least that we know, which is Kylie Jenner, The Rock, who else would be big? Who
Kevin,
else?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. All these big name just icons. They're big name icons and they have this wealth because they built a brand that all these companies want to attach themselves to, and they will pay whatever it costs to be a part of it. Like anything the Dwayne Johnson, The Rock touches immediately
turns to gold,
becomes gold immediately.
Beyonce,
right? Jay-Z, like all these people, and what do they have in common, right? They have built a brand while they were building the thing they wanted to build, right? When The Rock was wrestling, he wasn't just wrestling. He was building a brand, building slogans at the same time, right? When Kevin Hart was a comedian, no, his goal was to be a comedic rock star. He was building a brand at the same time. So as an entrepreneur, when you're building your business, you have to understand the importance of building your brand simultaneously, because your brand is going to put you in rooms and give you opportunities that the business can't. And you put them together, you got something special.
That's something really special, right? And the reason why we wanted to put this on here is because, like, and I used to think this way. I used to be like, oh, like some people are more focused on building a brand than they are building a business, which I think is important. Like, listen, this is a nuanced conversation. I don't think you should be just like out here all willy-nilly, like acting like you have it together, right? And if you don't have your back end together, if indeed you already have a business, right? I think that business should be secure. But what I want you to have confidence in is you never lose anything building a brand, because a brand in and of itself is a leverage mechanism, right? There are plenty of people who don't have any product or service that they sell, but because of the brand that they've built, they command, right, other businesses, other brands, other organizations paying them to get access to the audience that they've created by building a brand. Write this down. The trust of one leads to the acceptance of many, right? So when you build a brand, there's a reason why you can't, like you see somebody like a Beyonce and it's like, oh, I dropped this new hair care line and it sells out overnight. Oh, I dropped these concert tickets and it sells out overnight. Oh, I can do this collaboration with Verizon while everybody else is spending $7 million for a Super Bowl commercial for 90 seconds or 30, however long it is. I'm getting paid $30 million, right, to be in a commercial and to get a chance to basically announce my album that I'm dropping, brand. So never feel like, even if you don't have everything figured out in terms of what you want your business to be, you'll never lose anything building an audience as long as you don't slut out that audience, right? Now, if you try to like, you build an audience and then you try to sell them some flat tummy tea, or you build an audience and you go get the BBL and then now you're selling workout programs, I don't know, right? But if you maintain integrity with the audience that you built, you can literally switch whatever it is you want to do whenever you want to do it, like The Rock, right? Kevin Hart has a partnership with Chase. You think Kevin Hart knows more about money than me or Carter? Probably not. No disrespect to him. Mm-hmm. But because he has a brand, he gets that partnership. Kevin Hart is the face of a vegan food chain because he has a brand, right? Kevin Hart is the face of Tommy John's, his underwear company, because he has a brand. List goes on. So the amount of leverage that you get from having a brand alongside of building a business behind that or on top of that is just, it's insane. So never lose sight of that and never feel like, oh man, I can't put this out or be creative or create content because I might not have this product that I want to sell yet. It doesn't matter. If anything, build the audience so that when you get ready to sell the product, you have somebody to sell it to.
Could you imagine having a financial coach that at any given time you could ask your questions in real time from a real expert and get real advice? To be honest, Pocket Advisor is the flagship feature, in my opinion, of the Melanin Millionaires Club. And when I originally created this platform, for those of you who may not know this, Pocket Advisor was actually the name and the primary feature back in 2021. But when I rebranded to the Melanin Millionaires Club, I knew that no matter what we added or changed, Pocket Advisor had to stay. because we have democratized financial advice by giving you access to a real financial expert in real time. There is no other financial education platform that you'll find something like this that's actually backed by a financial advisor. One of the top 100 in the nation, I might add. So if you're looking to get financial education in your pocket in real time, head over to melaninmoney.com/join to learn about Pocket Advisor, as well as all the other great benefits and features that you can find as a part of the Melanin Millionaires Club. Can't wait to see you inside.
Lord knows, right? Like when I built my brand, I had no intention. You know this, you're the only reason I got into the digital product space in the first place. At least one of the main reasons. When I was building my brand, I had no intention on selling anything to my audience. I built the brand because I felt like you got two choices in business. You can spend all your time going to find people, or you can make yourself more findable, right? Mm-hmm. So I built the brand because I said, I want to make myself more findable. I'm tired of having to go to networking events 4 nights out the week to talk about my products and my services and all this. I would do that too, but I'd rather sit in front of a camera and just give my expertise away for free so that one day the person can come knocking on my door saying, hey, I want to work with you. So like building a brand allows you to make yourself findable, which will make your business more money. Then when you want to sell them something one day, you can, but build a brand. I think one of the easiest ways to build a brand, I don't want to use this word because it's been used a lot, but like build an authentic brand. I'll give you all one example and then we can move on. Shout out to my brother Trap, Wall Street Trapper, because I think it's a massive, massive courage to build a brand in the financial space and leverage the story of you going to jail, of you used to being a drug dealer, of your door getting kicked in by the police, like with search warrant. Like most people, if you're going to get into the investing space, would back away from that narrative because it's going to like, I'm not trusting you with investing advice. You used to sell drugs, bro. But he embraced it. And I think that now the reason why he has one of the strongest brands, at least in our space, is because he built it like crazy authentic. Now, I don't know if I could have been that thing. I'm being real. I don't think I had the courage to be that authentic. But like, yo. And it's paying dividends. So like build a brand, be your authentic self, and it's going to be easy to stand up.
Big facts. Because on top of that, right? Like one of the reasons why you get into entrepreneurship is to work with people that you like and work with people that like you, right? And if you put on this facade because you think that's the brand you need to build because that's the tone of your industry or whatever, right? What's going to happen is you're going to attract a bunch of people that don't really align with who you are as a person, which is not enjoyable. Like if that's the case, you can code switch in corporate America. Anybody trying to code switch over here, right? Like you, this is the whole reason why you became an entrepreneur. So I think the other most important part about building Carter's Point authentic brand is that you get to be you at all times, right? Like that is one of the most important benefits of business. Like what you'll see now is people like who kind of built a brand a certain way and now they're trying to double back and like, oh, well, let me like finally be myself again. Like, if you can help it, be you, lay up, be you, they'll adjust, right?
They'll adjust.
The beginning, from the jump, because then you get the compound interest of attracting your tribe, attracting your people. Like, oh, we can have these funny, jokey moments on a podcast for things that we would laugh about off camera and then attract people who would also find it funny. And there are going to be some people who don't find it. But I think, remember one of our episodes, we talked about like our preferences and like significant others. I think that's one of the few episodes we did, and people were just like, nah, who are y'all to be talking about this, that, and the third? I'm cool with that, right? Like, if you are pleasing everybody, you are serving no one. I can guarantee you, right? You gotta pick a side, right? The hottest places in hell are reserved for people who maintain their neutrality in times of great conflict. Martin Luther King, right? Like, you in life, period, you have to pick a side. In branding and in business, pick a side and attract your tribe. That's a bar. Pick a side.
That's a bar. Attract your tribe. That's the bar. Put it on a shirt. Put it on a shirt. Now, this next one, guys, is probably the hack of all hacks in business, right? At least in my opinion. Like, it's so simple, but most people won't do it. Most people don't do it. And therefore, most people aren't successful. That's all I have to say about this. And what I wish I knew earlier is the power of masterminds, AKA, or paying somebody to teach you something that you don't know how to do, right? Like, yo, please hear me and please hear me clearly, y'all. The easiest hack to becoming successful as an entrepreneur, successful as a person, make a lot of money, find someone who is doing what you want to do and pay them whatever they cost to teach you how to do it.
Thanks.
Like, yo, they already did it for themselves. They already have the result for themselves. If they could get the result for themselves, 9 times out of 10, they can get the result for you, but they ain't gonna do it for free. If they smart, they definitely not gonna do it for free.
Right.
And really, you have two choices. You can pay to get the lesson with your money, or you can pay to get the lesson with your time.
Mm-hmm.
One of these two resources, you can't get back. You choose.
There you go. It's, guys, it's called intellectual property for a reason. The audacity to think that someone's gonna, who's gonna spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, on becoming the person that they had to become, learning the lessons, hiring, the firing, the system that didn't work, the software that didn't work, the employee that tried to steal their idea, like to think that you're gonna come to them 10 years later and be like, yo, that coffee though, you like your ice, or why you gonna meet up at Starbucks? The audacity to think that that's what you're gonna pay to get access to that intellectual property is insane. What's even more insane is if that person has free content that they produce, podcasts, social media, blog posts, et cetera, that you can consume, right, for free, and you bypass all of that or act like that's not enough and you want direct access to them for free or for a cup of coffee. It's just not going to happen. But here's how you can get over that mental barrier of number one, thinking that you deserve that level of entitlement and realizing the power in making this decision. I'm going to give it to you on a silver platter, okay? 9 times out of 10, if the entrepreneur or the whoever that you're trying to learn from is smart, whatever they're pricing their services, their coaching, right? Whatever they're pricing it at, it's going to be a fraction, right, of whatever it is that you're going to be able to gain and do from learning it from learning from them. Why are they doing that if they're smart? Because it's the easiest way to sell. If somebody has a mastermind or a coaching program that costs 10K, right? And they say, I'm going to teach you how to make your first 6 figures. Anybody that has any kind of common sense is like, wait, so I can pay you 10,000. You're going to show me how to make 100. That's like a $90,000. I'm going to do that every day of the week and twice on Sunday, right? So what you have to do, though, is you have to stop trying to count the pockets of the person that you're learning from and count yourself and trick yourself out of a bag. You so worried about wondering like, well, shoot, if he charged 10K to me and it's 20 other people, well, shoot, he getting all this, he or she getting all this money from such and such. Meanwhile, you're tricking yourself out of a bag. Focus on you. They're telling you that I can show you how to make $100,000 and you got to pay me 10, or whatever it is they charge. And not to mention, once you get the information, you can continue to make that 100,000 and then make it 2 and then make 3 and then make 5 and so on and so forth. But you're so busy worried about counting their pockets that you're about to trick yourself out of your spot, right?
Are you an aspiring first generation millionaire who's looking to march towards their first 1 million in net worth? If you are, then I strongly encourage you to consider joining the Melanin Millionaires Club. Inside the Melanin Millionaires Club, you're going to get access to a complete library of elective courses that will help you navigate towards your journey of your first 1 million in net worth. You're going to receive access to My Wealth Health, which is a dashboard that allows you to track your financial progress in real time. You're going to get access to live workshops and masterclasses, and you're going to get access to our past library recording of all of our masterclasses and workshops called Financial Flips. Not to mention, you're gonna receive access to our flagship feature called Pocket Advisor, where you get access to a financial coach in real time. This is by far one of my favorite features of the platform, and there's so much more. All you have to do to learn more is go to melaninmoney.com/join to see how you can take advantage of all these benefits and become a first generation millionaire. See you inside the club.
Like, it's the closest thing to robbery that I've seen, right? And people don't see it. Like, wait, do you mean to tell me you're going to take the 10 years, the 100 books, the 100 hours or whatever, the mistakes, you're going to take all that stuff that you had to go through,
mm-hmm,
and you go, package it together, give me the lessons, hold the scars, and you're going to let me pay you to get that.
Yep.
And I only pay you one time, and I get to enjoy the fruits of this information for the rest of my life.
Correct. It's the closest,
highway robbery.
The closest thing to robbery, right? Like, it's insane. Like, but I understand, like, people don't get it. And here's why people don't get it. They went to college and they got this frou-frou degree that they had to pay for. They're still paying debt on. They're not even doing the thing that they went to school for. And so they're like, well, this is a scam. It's a scam. But when you hire somebody who actually did the thing, not the marketing professor who never ran marketing for an organization, but you hire the expert who actually did it, right? You get direct access to someone who has the results. So you can't confuse this with college, right? Like, this is a totally different ballgame. You're getting direct access to someone who did what you're trying to do. And all you got to do is take the layup. But meanwhile, you're letting your limiting beliefs about people scamming you out of money, which there's a beautiful acronym for that, right? Still confused about money. But you would go to school and pay somebody who didn't do the thing for 4 years, and nobody's calling that a scam, right? It's crazy to me. But, you know, to each his own, tomato, tomato. But listen, the purpose of this episode was to tell you things that we wish we would have known earlier that would have catapulted our success faster. And I'm telling you right now, if you can find somebody in your lane who's doing what you want to do, and they're doing it at a high level, and they're giving you the ability to learn from them, do that as fast as possible. Or you can continue to drive around the country with no directions, waste all the gas, and drive aimlessly, and just hope that you get to where you're trying to go. You'll eventually get there, I would imagine. But God, it's going to take you an extra 10 hours, right? Or realistically 10 years, right? To get there, when all you got to do is like, yo, bro, you know, if you just take this service road, because the road's blocked over here, is a straight shot. And if you take the toll road, you'll get there even faster. Because, like, I didn't even know it was a toll road. You don't say. That's the hack. That's the one. I'm telling y'all.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's that. If you do that alone, you're out of here. Okay. So let's move on to lesson number 4. This is a personal lesson for me. I did not know that if I want to be a high-level entrepreneur, it's not just going to be me leading me, right? If your dream can be fulfilled with just one person, your dream is too small, right? You're going to need a team, and that team is going to need a leader, okay? So understanding how to lead and influence people is a skill that I didn't know I was going to need to have going in entrepreneurship. But now looking into it, is one of the most important skills that's going to take you to a high level, especially a million, a multi-million dollar level. You're going to need that skill. So lessons in leadership, George, you can start.
Yeah. And we actually did a really good podcast on this August of 2023 that I would encourage y'all listening to. But the lessons in leadership, first and foremost, is that you build the people and the people build the business, right? That's the first lesson, is that, you know, a business, like, especially as people of color, like, we were trained that, hey, like, you build this business, this lifestyle business, like, you have to do everything and be everything to everybody. But the real name of entrepreneurship at the highest level is building a business that you could sell. Now, whether you decide to sell it or whether you decide to just own it and be chairman of the board or whatever, or transition leadership, you have to build people, right? And I recommend hiring from the top down. Because if you hire from the top down, what I mean by that is, instead of just hiring people that can do stuff, right? Task rabbits. You hire people that can think, right? Just as good or maybe even a little bit better than you in certain areas. When you do that, what happens is you get to delegate outcomes instead of delegating tasks, right? What we thought was leadership in the past was like, okay, let me sit down for a day. Let me think of every little thing I want everybody to do and give them a list to do it, right? That's leadership level 1, right? That's handholding. Leadership level 2 and beyond is, I want you to drive to Florida, right? And I'm going to let you figure out whether you're going to take a plane, whether you're going to take a bus, whether you're going to take a car. I'm going to let you figure out which route you're going to take. I just want you to get there, right? And in the process of empowering you to do so, what's going to happen is you're going to notice ways to do it better, and you're going to build that process. And you're going to come back and tell me, hey, I know you wanted me to do this. I did it, by the way. And here's what I found out about it along the way. And then I'm going to create a process so that even I don't have to do it, or if I get hurt or sick, somebody from else from the team can do it, also known as SOP? I forgot the words. What is it?
Standard operating procedure.
I had a brain fart. Standard operating procedure, right? Like, that is what is required of you, right? You have to understand how to build people, because people are going to be the thing that build your business. And if you can't lead people, right, all you are is really self-employed, right? Because at the end of the day, you have to continue to keep this thing running because nobody else can do it but you. You're the only person that can think. And that is just not a way to build a business long-term.
Period. And I think that this is one of those things you might be able to get to six figures without it. But yo, that 6 to 7, not happening without you being able to lead people. Now, this next one, you can't make it to 6 without this next one, yeah. Right? Like this next one, you can't make it to even caring about leadership until you get this figured out.
Have you ever been chilling on your couch and you were maybe trying to find something to watch on TV, whether it's Netflix or Hulu, Amazon Prime, Stars? I mean, there's so many streaming services nowadays, right? Maybe you've already binge watched that favorite series and it's over and you're just trying to find something else to watch. But imagine if you spent that energy trying to find creative and impactful content that can help you level up your journey towards your first 1 million in net worth. And that's exactly why we created Financial Flicks, which is a complete library of past workshops and masterclasses where you can learn different topics across personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship on your journey towards your first 1 million in net worth. So head over to melaninmoney.com/join to learn about Financial Flicks as well as all the other great features that you can find inside of our Melanin Millionaires Club. Can't wait to see you inside.
So the final the lesson that we wish we knew before becoming entrepreneurs is that, yo, if you want to stay in business, fam, you got to sell something to somebody.
Period.
Like, if I told y'all the amount of time I wasted building out my logo, figuring out my domain, color scheme I wanted, but fuck literally, I've spent days trying to figure out the hands I want on the logo. It was ridiculous. And literally the hand placement on the logo was crazy. And the reason, like, looking back that I did that is because, like, I was engaging purposefully in mental masturbation because I didn't want to do what I know I needed to do. And that was go out there, talk to somebody and sell somebody something so that this business actually generate revenue. So going to be in business, you just have to get okay with selling. You have to understand that you've got to sell something to somebody. And since you're going to have to sell, you might as well embrace it. You might as well start to love selling. You might as well start to like get good at it. Because you're going to need it if you want to stay in business. Like, you can't hire a sales team if you don't make no sales, because you got to pay the team if they can't sell something that you don't even know how to sell.
Right.
So,
like, you got to be able to come in and show, like, when they messing up, the show, like, let me show y'all how it's done. Because it ain't one of those scenarios. Somebody, as we like to say on our webinars, this ain't that, right? Like, we are what you call player coaches. If we decided to hop on sales calls, the close ratio would go to 80%. I all but guarantee it, right? But another episode for another day in terms of like delegation and putting yourself in the right place. We understand, right, that like it's all a numbers game. And so what Carter means by like you having to love sales is like the first thing you got to be okay with is rejection. Everyone is not going to say yes. But when you understand math, which I hope as an entrepreneur, everybody has to understand at least basic levels of math. If you want to count that money, count that scratch. That's
cool. Scratch, Jack.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you understand, like, it's just a numbers game. Okay, well, I called 10 people and asked them that they want to buy my stuff. And only 2 people said they wanted to buy. Oh, man, I got 8 people told me they didn't want to buy, right? So what? Now what you know is if you have a sales goal, i.e., you figure out how much money you want to make, then you just got to figure out how many people you got to call because you know how many people are going to say no, right? But y'all are so afraid of the 8 no's that you forget about the aha moment that should come. It's like, oh, shoot. That means if I want 10 yeses, I just got to talk to 50 people. Mm-hmm. I just got to talk to 50 people and I'm going to get my 10 yeses. Y'all are so afraid of rejection that you would do everything but go make some money, right? Go make some money. Go sell something to somebody. Because if you don't, I don't care how great your idea is. I don't care how pretty your website is. I don't care. Like, if you have the best offer in the world, if you don't go out and sell it to nobody, no one will ever know about it. And if you feel like you have something that the world needs, right? It's whatever it is that you spent so long putting on your website. If you actually believe in that, then you have a duty and an obligation to sell, right? sales cures all, in the words of Grant Cardone, because you sell, right? Then what happens? You make some money. When you make some money, you can hire more people. When you hire more people, you can provide a higher quality of service to your customers. When you provide a higher quality of service to your customers, they get better results. They get better results. Everybody wins.
And then you use some of that money to pay for coaching from a mastermind to accelerate the level of money that the business is gonna make. And then the more you become a high level person by investing in these masterminds, guess what? You now have more stuff to talk about. And that way it's easy to build a brand. Y'all know why it's so easy for us to build a brand? It's because we are around so many high level people that we hear so many crazy things that there's no way I would run out of stuff to talk about, because I've heard so many different strategies, dichotomies, lessons that I can just reel these off nonstop. So all these things are a microcosm of you becoming the best version of yourself in 2024, which is the year of more. And if you want more money, if you want more entrepreneurship, these five lessons help you get there faster.
Absolutely. So guys, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you like this episode, y'all, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave a comment on what is your top lesson that you learned from this, or one that maybe we didn't talk about that somebody else scouring the comments can find, so that they can have a successful entrepreneur journey. And most importantly, share this episode with somebody who you think can benefit from it, right? If you're a loyal listener on Spotify or Apple, please subscribe there as well and leave a review, as all of these things help more people see and hear this message of becoming a melanin millionaire. Until next time, guys. Peace.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. We hope that this episode was inspiring and gave you some tangible nuggets that you can walk away with and implement in real time. If you found this episode valuable, please like, subscribe, share, and consider leaving a review of this episode on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until next time.